Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. We are an associate of TCPN over at www.thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. Hello and welcome to Feed Your Head. I'm Ruthanna Martefio, and my very special guest tonight is calling in from Syria. Lena Hanna is with us, and she's going to give us the complete scoop. Hi, Lena.
Hi.
How are you doing? I know it's like 3 in the morning or something for you.
Yes, exactly.
And you've been up. So, like you told me, you didn't want to have any coffee because you would not get any sleep after the show either then. So.
No problem. Tomorrow is Friday. It's here a weekend.
Well, I'm excited because I've never talked to anyone live from Syria. And I know that the people in the U.S., probably more than any other place in the world, but there are some other countries that are probably almost as ignorant as the U.S. on this whole issue. A lot's going on in Syria, and mainstream media just isn't telling us anything like the truth. So I'd like to just ask you for a little bit of your background and what part of Syria you're in, that type of thing.
Yes. I live now in Damascus. I was raised in Damascus. I am a mechanic engineer, automotive engineer. Life in Syria before the crisis was very beautiful. Okay. It's not a revolution. A revolution never kills innocent people.
Oh, okay, let me stop you a minute. You said it's not a revolution. A revolution doesn't do what?
Doesn't kill innocent people.
Right, right.
Here, opposition, they are just a bunch of terrorists. And democracy is not their language. They are just murderers and war criminals.
Well, I think that a lot of them that, are being called in the West, like the rebels, the Free Syrian Army and all of this, a lot of them are just mercenaries.
Yes, they are just mercenaries.
Yeah, from everywhere. I mean,
all over the world. Most of them are non-Arab.
That's what I've read. Yeah, they're not even Arab. So,
yes.
Well, now, people say that there was a civil war going on in Syria before all of this started a couple years ago. Would you say that's true or not?
No. Before this, two and a half years ago, we lived in harmony. Life just was very beautiful. Relationships between Muslims and the Christians here are about 10% of the population.
Okay. So
life was very good. To study here, all stages, and even to go to university is totally free. Hospitals treat people from all diseases for free. Everything was cheap. Life was good. We lived in peace. Now, after this, what you call revolution, people call it revolution, we can't go out of our houses. We won't dare go out of our houses after 5 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, criminals are everywhere. I live in Damascus. It's good to live in Damascus in this time. In some places, you can't live. My family is originally from Homs. a town in the middle of Syria. They all ran away, and they are now in Damascus living, like fugitives.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, they don't know what happened to their houses, to their cars, to their business, everything.
Well, okay, so you're saying that the education was free and medical care was free.
Up till now, education is free and medical care is free. Up till now.
Up to now.
Yes, in the areas that the government controls.
Oh, okay, right. So where the Syrian government is, this is still free. And but even now, where do you say you live, Lena?
In Damascus.
In Damascus, okay. So now the government controls Damascus, right?
Or at
least
yeah.
parts, yeah. So but even so, then you're afraid to go out of the house after 5. Like when it gets dark, you won't go out.
Because in every area, they have, let's say, like sleeping cells.
Okay, sleeping cells, okay.
Yes, Al-Qaeda has sleeping cells. For example, I can go to my car and drive it. Before looking under it, maybe they put a bomb under my car.
Oh.
Yeah, many people, and I know 3 of them, lost their feet because of bombs under their cars, especially if they work for the government.
Oh.
Yeah. So we check our cars before getting inside it.
Oh. Yeah, I've never had to do that. I one time I was going on a military base and they checked under our car. They had, you know, that mirror on a handle or something, and they
exactly.
ran it under the car and everything. But I personally have never had to do anything. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And here, kidnapping, you know, lack of security. When Al-Qaeda came to any area, there will be a lack of security.
Right.
They kidnap girls. Just to, especially if they were beautiful girls. And I don't know, maybe you hear about the Syrian beauty. Syrians are beautiful people, in general.
That's what I've heard, yes. Yes.
Maybe because they are from the Mediterranean nation, I don't know why, but they are considered beautiful people. If you look at Saudi Arabia and Qatar, they like our girls. So you can't let a girl walk alone after 5 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah, at all. She will be disappeared.
So that totally has changed your whole lifestyle then?
Of course. We used to come back to our home at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Now we don't go out at all, no matter what.
Wow. No, that's... That's, I don't even know what to say. Now, you were saying that before all of this started, the country was living in harmony. And, of course, there would be people just like in any place where people get along, basically. But there's people who have some different points of view. So then that must have been what made people say, oh, there was a civil war. But actually, the fighting didn't start until people from outside came in. Am I right?
Exactly.
Why do you think, Lena, what would you give as a reason why the West and Saudi Arabia and different countries, Israel, have gotten involved? What is it that they really want? Is Syria on the way to Iran? Is this what they're trying to do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Syria and Iran.
Yeah.
When everything is strong.
Yeah.
And that's strong. They were moving on for wars. They are getting strong. And Saudi Arabia don't like this.
Yeah.
They don't want, let's say it, Iran is Shia. And Saudi Arabia is Shia.
Yes.
And they said that Syria, Saudi Arabia, and Iran, and Hezbollah in Lebanon, like standing in the face of the New World Order.
So Then you did mention Al Qaeda, also. So
okay. Al Qaeda is just a toy made by Saudi Arabia, founded by Qatar and Saudi Arabia.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. If Al Qaeda is really a real entity, a real organization, or if it's just a term that's tossed around.
Yes. I don't get it. Sorry.
You don't think it's what?
I don't get what you asked me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is Al Qaeda a real organization of people, or is that just, do they use that term?
Al Qaeda is just a terrorist group.
Mm-hmm.
And they are responsible for many, many attacks. Everybody knows Al Qaeda.
Okay.
Including the U.S. attack of September 11th.
Right, so Al Qaeda actually does exist.
Of course,
they
exist.
Okay.
But here in Syria, the problem is getting bigger. Al Qaeda now is two groups.
Okay.
One of them is loyal to Turkey, and then second is loyal to Saudi Arabia, and they are now fighting in the east of Syria.
Right. Okay. I had seen that the terrorists were fighting each other too. So
yes. So many of them don't even speak Arabic.
I saw that too. Yeah.
We should ask ourselves why those non-Syrians want to help the rebels.
Yeah.
The answer is easy. It's because they want to turn Syria towards extremist and strict Muslim law. But they forgot that the Syrian population would violently reject extremists.
Well, now, I saw you're talking about the population. I saw that Syria has about 22 million people.
Yes.
And, or I guess close to 23. But now some have fled. Some have gone to, I believe, Turkey.
Yes, many.
Many.
Many ran away from Aleppo, from many places, yes. To Turkey, to Lebanon, to Jordan, and some to Iraq.
Okay, yeah, I knew Jordan was in getting some too. So tell me, now, the Golan Heights technically belongs to Syria, am I right?
Yeah, of course.
But it's occupied by Israel.
Yes.
And now, has Israel been doing a lot? I'm sure they are behind the scenes in Syria, but...
I didn't want to say that. I thought it's not allowed to say that.
Ah, okay.
Yes, okay. Of course, the Zionist regime in Israel. We don't hate Jews, but the Zionist regime in Israel is behind the scene. He is controlling all the scenes.
Okay. Yeah,
that's what I think.
Okay, yeah, I always do try to make a difference between the Israeli people and the Zionist regime, because they're two totally different things. I mean, most of the people in Israel are not pro-Zionism. It's their country, just like most of the people in the United States are not happy with what our government is doing.
Yes, you know, I know that. So,
yeah, and that's, I think people around the world actually understand that, because so many of them don't like their own governments, and they understand that the people are all good people.
Yes.
But now, are there particular areas of Syria that are getting, I don't want to say, that where it's more dangerous? Or is it pretty much like you said, you're in the largest city, and you won't go out after 5 at night.
Yes.
So what about the people in the countryside? Is it a little safer, or is it more dangerous?
The east side of Damascus, it's country, not a city. Damascus is in the middle and surrounded by villages from all around it.
Mm-hmm.
We call it Ghouta. I don't know if you heard of Ghouta, where they say chemical weapon was used.
No, I wasn't familiar No.
In that area, the east of Damascus, in the countryside, no families are living anymore. They all ran away when Al-Qaeda reached there.
Okay.
My work area was in Jobar, in that area. I used to go to my work through the countryside every day.
Yeah.
I never had any problem. But a year ago, a friend of mine told me, he lived there. He told me, don't come from this village. It's too dangerous for you. I asked him why. I am Syrian. I can go wherever I want. He said, you don't put hijab on your head. You understand the word hijab? A cover, a black cover on my head.
Right. Yes.
And if you pass from this village, they will kidnap you.
Oh.
Yes, I got afraid and I changed my way. I go through Damascus. It's longer, but safer.
Okay.
After this, 1 month after this, my friend, which he is an engineer, he is well educated. He ran away with his family to Damascus. He left his house and all Jobar was evacuated of its population. Remained in there only the families of Al-Qaeda terrorists.
Oh.
You can't find normal families there because they say, you'll come with us, okay, we'll come. You are aside, you can't be aside, you'll be killed.
Okay, so that's the choice. You can either
be with them or die.
Or get, because yes, they're going to kill you if you aren't with them. Okay.
Yes.
So the countryside is pretty bare in areas then. I mean, as far as the real Syrian citizens.
Yeah.
They're just not in the country anymore.
No, not at all. Few are there, but they're... families are working with the Free Syrian Army or with Al-Qaeda terrorists.
Yeah. Well, okay, Lena, then how do you get your food? Because in the city, now I've seen reports that in this country, in the U.S., if something were to happen to one of our major cities,
yes,
or, you know, whatever, they say that there is only enough supplies, food and medical supplies, basically, in the city for about 3 days.
Ah, yes. Here you see how great is our government.
Okay, because they're making sure...
Up till now, let me tell you, for an example. Here, up till now, you can buy the bread... 10 pieces of bread, loaves of bread, let's say, with 15 Syrian pounds. 15 Syrian pounds is, let me see, $1 is 200 Syrian pounds. In $1, I can buy bread for my family, we are four, for a month.
Wow.
Yes. Bread is very cheap because government brings the bread. Government make the bread.
Okay.
Yes. Up till now, bread is very cheap. Of course, many things became very expensive because the dollar is expensive now in Syria.
Sure.
But everything is here. You can find anything you want. Medicine and food and everything.
Okay. So you can still get things.
Affordable.
Well, I suppose that some of the things, the price has gone up because the terrorists, I mean, like they usually do every place, they ambush supply trucks and everything.
Exactly.
So, but the government's making sure that everybody in the towns are fed.
Of course.
Yeah.
There is no lack of food.
Okay.
In the areas that the terrorists control, I think there is a lack of food.
Oh.
But no civilians live there. So no worry.
Yeah.
Civilians run to secured areas.
Well, I suppose that these people who were living, you know, the people that were living in the countries, outside and all, they before they had to run somewhere or be absorbed by Al Qaeda, they probably had gardens and were growing things.
Yeah. Now, some of them don't have money to come and rent a house in Damascus.
Yes.
So they came, the government opened the schools for the families and the mosques and the churches, every area for the families to sleep in. The government brings them the food and everything.
Okay.
Because some people don't have sources of money to live outside their environment.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, that makes sense. And particularly, I mean, when they had to leave with almost nothing, some of them. So, okay, so the government is taking care of. What about, you know, we hear so much here in mainstream media around the world talks so much about President Assad. And, you know, I mean, everything that I have heard, I mean, from articles and all from Syria, is he is pretty well thought of. I mean, some people say, well, you know, he may not be the best, but we can take care of it. We don't want any outside intervention.
Of course. Yes.
And so, but how do most of the people, like your friends and family, what do they think of President Assad?
President Assad, first of all, he's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He's an eye doctor. I don't remember how to say it in English.
Oh, okay, some type of an optometrist or something. The doctor, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And he is well educated. He studied in Britain. He is a great man. How can I say it? He is secular, and that's why the Saudi Arabia don't like him. He promotes religious tolerance.
Right.
Yes, and he was building the new Syria.
Well, and that's why. Okay, then that's why they don't like him. Like you said, people were living in harmony, and the West and KSA and a lot of other of these nations, they like to cause divisions in countries. So they had to start doing something because Syria was all together. And Syria and Iran are friends, and because they want to,
And forget the Russia that is coming strongly to the view.
Okay.
Anyway, for Assad is a great man. He made the country walk by law.
Okay.
He make many progresses, and of course, we don't want Al Qaeda to charge in Syria after Al Assad.
Well, no, because like you said, he was building the new Syria, and he was promoting religious tolerance. You have the basically it was a lot of things that we socialists are for as far as free medical care and free education.
Yes. That's not Bashar al-Assad did that. It's his father, Hafez al-Assad, said that studying and treatment in Syria should be for free, and it's up till now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Bashar al-Assad.
Yeah, would you just repeat that? You said about his father, who was president before. What did he do now?
Bashar al-Assad make our salary much, much better.
Oh, okay, right.
Syrian, I'm talking for the Syrian. And he started to make the new Syria. He is in charge for 12 years about, or 13 years now. He worked hard work to make streets wider. The country was safer. And for the economy, Syria is independent country. We eat what we plant and what we make.
Yeah. So, okay, because his father was president for a long, long time.
Yes.
And like you said, he was, like the roads were better and everything because he worked on the infrastructure of the country.
Exactly.
And so now, I mean, you have, because the pictures I've seen of Syria, the country, and the towns before all this, I mean, absolutely beautiful.
Yes, yes, Syria is very beautiful.
Well, Syria is, I've read that Syria is probably, if not the, at least one of the oldest civilizations ever. And your city, Damascus, they say that it is the oldest city that has been continually occupied.
Yeah.
Ever, ever, ever. So this is bad. I mean, you've got the Euphrates River going through, you know, and we had learned in school that the center of everything, the beginning, was that the Tigris and Euphrates and everything. So, I mean, it is an old, old, old country.
Yes, old history. Yes, and it's a remarkable land.
Yes, I mean, so much history is there.
Yes, really.
I mean, history for all of us. And
yes, every stone, every church, every, you know, the oldest church in the world is in Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
Hanania Church, if you heard of it, it's the oldest in the world.
The oldest church in the world. Oh.
Yes, it's in Damascus. You heard of Malula?
Yes.
Malula is a small town about an hour northwest of Damascus. And in Malula, Christians live side by side with Muslims.
Yes.
Both Christians and Muslims in Malula sharing a unique non-Arab heritage. It's the last place in the world where Aramaic, the language of Christ, is spoken. Yes, and now terrorists from Al Qaeda attack Malula.
Well, yeah, they have no sense of history, sacredness, anything.
Yeah. Yeah. At the end of the road to Malula, on the top of one of the hills, Malula is like a grave in the stone.
Oh.
There you can find a monastery and a chapel. They are made of old stones.
Wow.
But now the terrorists, now today, now this moment, they are, they have hostages in there from the children, from children and women in that chapel. They are hostages. And the army is trying to save them.
Oh.
Yeah.
God. I mean,
so the mainstream media don't tell you these stories. They don't tell you that Christians are being killed in Syria in favor for Saudi Arabia. I don't know why. They don't tell you that Alawis and Shia are being killed just because their beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did want to ask you, because now we see here, or we hear, that a lot of the fighting now is because of different sects of Islam in Syria.
Yes, there is different sects. They live in harmony.
Well, that's right. That was what I've been told, but the media here and all tries to put a lot of this down. They say that the different Muslims are fighting each other over religion. And they don't mention the fact that these are mercenaries that don't even speak the language or anything.
Exactly. So, there are some Syrians among them.
Oh, sure. I mean, there will be, because there's always people who are discontented.
Those Syrians that sold their country for some dollars.
Yeah.
The petrodollars, let's say it, that comes from Saudi Arabia.
Right. that's what a lot of this is, because the resources of Syria and Iran are what the West and KSA, Israel, are after. So, sure, petrol dollars from Saudi Arabia are funding these terrorists. Yeah. That's,
and I don't understand why. I understand why Israel wants to intervene in Syria and why the U.S. wants to intervene in Syria. They have reasons. But Saudi Arabia, why? No reason at all.
Well, the reasons given for the West, and I mean for like the U.S. and Israel, are lousy reasons, because it all comes down to greed. But, yeah, I don't understand, because I would have thought that Saudi Arabia... But see, Saudi Arabia is really pretty friendly with the U.S., so that probably has something to do with it.
I don't get this point, really. If they were friendly, the Saudi Arabia funded Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. We all know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Al-Qaeda make the 9/11 attack. So now, I just ask the American government, did you forget the 3,000 American lives that were lost in 9/11? Now you are friends with the terrorists?
Well, but a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's a lot of us that really, we don't necessarily believe that 9/11 happened like we were told either, because... It was like something had to happen so that they could invade Afghanistan and Iraq. And so this happened, wherever it came from. But, well, that's it. Countries don't keep allegiances with others. I mean, well, we've seen pictures lately of President Assad and his wife having dinner with John Kerry from the United States and his wife just maybe, what, 3 or 4 years ago.
2.5 years, exactly.
Yeah.
Before this revolution starts,
yeah.
Months or about this.
Yeah. So, you know, and then all of a sudden, the United States has to, you know, we've got to take down President Assad. And this is what they did with Saddam Hussein. So saying, not that, you know, I mean, they set him up. They were friends and everything, and then all of a sudden, time to get rid of him, just like they did with Colonel Gaddafi. And, you know, every time one of these leaders, like President Assad, is doing so well for his country, just like President Chavez in Venezuela.
Yeah.
He was, you know, really Venezuela is really happening, and he had so much to do with that, and the United States just couldn't stand it, and they don't even recognize this last election because they didn't get what they wanted down there.
Yes, exactly. They don't want any country to be independent.
No.
They want just to control all the economy all around the world.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Well, it has to do with these multinational corporations, I think, Lena, because, I mean, they are multinational. They're not just U.S. people, but they're big middle people from around. And they want just, you know, they love to ruin a country, and then they go in with money to rebuild it. But the country has to pay that back at rates that they can never, ever pay back. And so then they're under their thumb, and that's what they want. Syria was getting along just fine without that.
That's it, exactly.
And so they've got to go in.
Now Syria is devastated.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Now Syria is devastated. After 2.5 years of this war, many buildings and homes have been destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and Syria is now in a bad condition.
Right. And anytime you've had all these rockets and all these different kinds of things landing on your homes, your property, and all this destruction, I wanted to say, for people who don't really know too much, and I don't know that much about Syria itself, but we were talking about the beauty and the old civilization, but
yes.
You have everything. You've got the rivers, you have lakes, you have mountains, you've got the desert, you've got the Mediterranean Sea. I mean, everything is there in Syria. It's not a real big country, but you've got so much variety.
Yes, that's right. And it was fun to go to the sea every summer. We used to go to the sea.
Sure.
To Latakia or to Tartus. We passed in the mountains, as you said. It was fun to go to Tadmor. Now, of course, you can't travel.
Yeah.
Very dangerous to travel.
Yeah.
Everyone lived in his own city.
Yeah, that's so sad, because I really love the outdoors. Like, I like to go camping. And, you know, when I think about all these different possibilities, and then, like you now, you have to stay in the city, or when you go to work, you have to take a long way because it's the only safe route, things like that. It's such a difference.
Yeah.
But now, you said that up to now, still the education and the medical... it's free. What about the education? I mean, as far as like children and all, do people take them to their schools now for safety's sake, or what do you do with them?
Look, for my daughter, let's speak about my daughter.
Okay.
My daughter is 14 years old.
Okay.
In this age, it's very dangerous for her to walk in the street.
Yeah, I would think so.
So there is a bus, a small bus,
mm-hmm.
that takes her to school every day and brings her back. She's not allowed to walk alone.
Okay.
Like if she's in a jail. Sometimes she cries. You know, girls in this age want to walk, want to put makeup.
Sure.
Yeah. Like a lady, but we don't allow her.
Yeah.
If she wants to wear something that is very beautiful, me, her father, and her brother, we say, put something on. Don't get out like this. You don't know who you will see in the street.
Oh.
It's difficult for the girls, exactly, and especially for the girls.
Yeah.
If she wants to go anywhere, I take her in my car to the market.
Okay.
She may walk there for like an hour. And I became very nervous. I tell her, let's go home. I want to go home safe.
Yeah.
It's not safe to walk in the streets.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. For my son, he's going to the university this year.
He's what? Your son is what?
He's going to the university this year. He's 18.
Okay, so he's 18. Yeah, okay.
We are still thinking, is it safe to let him go to the university? Or not.
Oh.
Last year, many students were killed by mortar shells fired by the rebels to the university.
Oh, that's scary, because he wants to get his education and you want him to.
Yeah.
But
there is a possibility that I will send him out of Syria.
Okay.
To continue his high education.
Okay.
Yes, I have emailed many universities and waiting for the answer now. It's difficult to live away from, you know, your lonely son.
Yeah.
But what can I do? If it's safer for him, let it be.
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, when it comes down just to a matter of safety, of course you've got to let him go. But yeah, I mean, that's something that you shouldn't feel forced. You know, I mean, it should... just be like a choice if he wants to go away to school for a couple of years and come or whatever. But when you feel that this is the only way he's going to get an education now, and not because the schools aren't good, and like you said, I mean, free education, the whole thing, but safety is the issue then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That is number one.
Yeah.
Universities are very good. Universities are very good. I studied in the Damascus University. And believe me, when I went to Greece and I met with people who studied as I studied, mm-hmm. I discovered that studying in Syria is the best.
Yeah, we might want to mention that you did go to Greece to study, and you know, as our listeners know, I'm lucky to be able to speak English. Lena speaks Arabic and Greek and English. So, which, like you said, that English was not as hard to learn as Greek for you. So.
Exactly. But English is harder to pronounce.
Yeah. Now, then let me ask you, because you're, like you said, your daughter's 14. And, yeah, that's a difficult age for girls anyway, because they're, well, boys too, I guess. I mean, they're going through, puberty and everything, and it's just hard. But now that she has to be more sheltered than she would, that makes it even harder. What about your friends or people you know who have younger children? Is anybody doing homeschooling or anything just to avoid sending them to school now?
No, we still send our
okay.
to schools, yes.
Okay.
Because home education is not well known here in Syria.
Yeah.
No, and many families who have run away from their home,
mm-hmm.
The government takes the children and put them in a new school, even if they lost their paper. You know, in some areas they run away in an hour.
Yeah.
They forgot to bring the paper that proves this boy is your boy, he is in this grade or something.
Right.
No matter if you don't have papers, they believe your word. Just to make sure that this kid will not lose a year.
Wow, okay. Yeah, so they don't get you all bogged down in all that paperwork. I mean, and that's the way it should be, because some people, like you said, I mean, they just have to run, and
yes.
that they really don't have the presence of mind maybe to grab the papers and everything. Plus, if their house has been, you know, torn up or ransacked or something, they don't have those papers anymore anyway.
Yes, exactly.
So. It's what about services at the mosque and the churches and all? I mean, are they still as well attended as they were before?
I can't answer this question because I don't go. That frankly.
Okay, no, I just wondered if people still go to the mosque as much as they used to, or people go to
the church. Mosques, yes, they are going to the mosques, but to the churches, rarely.
Okay.
Only old people go to the churches.
Okay.
Yes, I don't think many people go there. In my family, only my father-in-law goes to the church.
Okay.
Stopped going. It's not safe.
But now, did younger people go before all of this started?
Yes, of course.
But so the younger people just don't feel safe, or they're losing their faith, or what?
Yes, we had Christian clubs for the kids, for the mothers, for parties, and many things they did in the church to collect people together.
Mhm.
But now nothing happens. They just go and pray on Sunday morning only. The church opens only on Sunday morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, they're afraid.
In Syria, there are too many churches. Maybe you think that in Syria there is no churches. There are too many. In my neighborhood area, there are 3 churches.
Yeah. But it's sad then. I mean, that they're closing except on Sundays.
Yeah,
that people's religions being affected too.
Let me tell you this. Mm-hmm. I live in an area. There is many Christians, but most of the population is Druze. It's part of Islam.
Mhm. Right.
On Sunday, Druze are, of course, they stand with President Assad. On Sunday, a group of Druze, they are from the National Army, they stand around the church to protect it from terrorists.
Yeah.
from Wahhabi terrorists. You know, here, Druze are protecting Christians.
Yeah. That, I mean, I've heard that. That, yeah. I mean, what a, you know, loving, neighborly thing to do. But, well, you mentioned Wahhabis because those are, I mean, I think they're crazy people. I mean, they are really, really fanatical.
Yes, Wahhabi. Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, that's
Wahhabi ideology.
Yeah, and that branch, or cult, whatever you want to call it, started in Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabis.
Yes, and they are not the real Islam.
I'm sorry?
They are not the real Islam.
No, absolutely not. But they fly under the banner, and they say they are, but they don't live by the Quran.
No, at all. At all, they don't. You know, I speak Arabic, I read the Quran, and I understand it exactly.
Yeah.
I have Muslim friends, many Muslim friends. In fact, most of my friends are Muslims.
Okay.
And they are very tolerant and very good people.
Yeah.
Wahhabi is not Islam. Wahhabi is like cancer in Islam. They want to destroy Islam from inside.
Yeah, and I don't understand. You know, to me, they're sort of like, would this be a good analogy? Like in Nigeria, the Boko Haram?
Yeah.
Are they sort of, I mean, they're fanatical. So is that sort of like the Wahhabis? Maybe not in the same way, but pretty fanatical?
I don't understand fanatical.
Okay. Well, Nigeria has a group of... well, they're pretty much terrorists, actually. They're called Boko Haram.
Yes.
And they do a lot of car bombings and building bombings and things like that because they don't like the way the government is. The government's friendly with the West, and they don't like anything Western. I mean, so they're fanatical. They will pretty much kill. Indiscriminately. And so, to me, that it makes me think that they're sort of like Wahhabi, in a way.
Yes.
But what, Lena, would you say has been, for you personally, living in Damascus, you're an engineer, you're well-educated, you have two children and a husband, what has been the worst part of this whole so-called revolution for you?
The worst part?
Yeah, for you.
You know, every part was bad.
Yeah.
Every part. When you see Syrians getting killed just because they are Syrians, when you see a Syrian's heart being eaten by some animal, when you see heads cut and grilled, that's very bad.
Yes,
we have suffered a lot. When you saw those bombed cars next to my house, a car exploded last year. It took me a week to come back to my normal.
Sure.
I was shocked. You know, shocked. Of course, at first, I just thought of my family. When I knew that my family is okay, then I was shocked. 30 people lost their lives in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
You get sad, very sad. Somehow, I feel that now we are used to sadness. If we laugh here in Syria, if we laugh, we say, oh my God, I'm laughing. That's a surprise. Sadness has become a part of our life.
Wow.
It's all sad. It's sad not to be able to go to the sea, to go to education. It's sad not to be able to move on, to move forward, to think, I want to change my house, I want to change my car, we can't think this way. We think, do we have food till the end of the month?
Yeah.
You know, for an instance, chocolate has has become very, very expensive here. We can't afford chocolate. We can afford it once a month. Well, my daughter likes chocolate. She asked me, can we eat chocolate this weekend? It's very difficult to hear this question from your daughter.
Yes.
I have worked hard, and my husband worked hard to make a comfortable life for our children.
Yeah.
I told my son if he passes his high school with good marks, I'll buy him a car.
Mm-hmm.
Now cars are very expensive.
Yeah.
So I told him, Mom, let's wait a little to see where will you study. I can't buy him a car.
Yeah.
It's difficult to see everything you built. We are thinking in this moment, and this moment is lost. We can't do nothing.
Yeah. Where do you see Syria in, let's just say, 4 or 5 years down the road? What do you think will have happened?
Okay. I believe that Syria is going to win.
I pray.
There's no way for those rebels to control Syria. There is no way. Syria is going to win and is going to be stronger. And I think what happens now will re-happen 10 or 20 or 20 years later. The same story, the same thing will happen because they don't want a strong Syria.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to reiterate the fact that the people in the United States, by a large majority, do not want war. And a friend of mine was on this radio station, but on another show, the other day, saying that when he was traveling around, because he's a political analyst in Minnesota,
yes.
And he said he would see small towns, they would have a big banner over, like, the overpass at expressways or freeways, you know, saying no war, and on and on. So people here don't want that.
I mean, yes, I know that. And thanks to the American people.
Yeah, the American people
really
don't want it. And so many people here are trying so hard to make sure that the people who supposedly represent us understand that
yes.
We don't want war. Syria has never done anything.
I hope the government has conscience.
I would hope that. I would hope they listen. Before we go, I have to ask you, because this is what the chemical weapons, supposedly. Tell me about that. You know, because we've heard that President Assad, the Syrian army, used chemical weapons on their own people. And then, you know, the rebels may have gotten a hold of some. But, you know, the United States keeps saying, even without any proof, that it was the Syrian army that used them. What do you say about the chemical weapon thing?
It's impossible for the Syrian president or the Syrian government to use chemicals on their people. Impossible. And I am sure of that. This is maybe the biggest lie after the 9/11 lie.
Right. Well, see, and that was what, because people weren't getting excited, you know, they knew that, you know, so many Syrians were fleeing their homes and there was so much happening. But once they mentioned chemical weapons, it just got in an uproar. And
Let me tell you something. The kids that died in this massacre, we couldn't see their parents. They said that a chemical weapon was used in Jobe.
Mm-hmm.
I live about 5 kilometers away from Jobe. It's very close.
Okay.
Why I am not dead or something? Jobar is very close to Damascus. Very close. Jobar, in fact, is part of Damascus.
Like a suburb.
Yeah, a very close suburb.
Yeah.
Not a far one. Very close.
Okay, very close.
It's inside Damascus, a part of Damascus.
Okay. It's part of Damascus.
It's not a countryside. It's
proper.
Inside Damascus.
Okay.
Do you believe that chemical weapon has in Jobar and just kids died there? Those kids, their parents in Latakia, recognized them. About a month ago, Al-Qaeda terrorists kidnapped 150 women and their children, women and their children.
Oh.
And they were filmed. The same kids in the film are in dead in Jobar. How did they come from Latakia to Jobar?
Okay.
They killed the Alawite kids.
Right. It doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit. No. And many problems. For if you see the chemical videos, you will notice that the same kids, once they say they are in Zamalka, once in Jobar, the same kids are in a third video, in Kafar Batna.
Yeah.
The 1,300 chemical weapon was not used by the government. That I am sure of it. Because I live near Jobar, very close to Jobar.
Right. So, you know, Lena, this time has gone so fast. We only have a couple minutes. What would you want the American people to know and people around the world? Because we have listeners around the world. What should they know about what's happening in Syria?
I just want them to seek the truth, to look for the truth. Don't believe the media. Your media is controlled. Most of it, of course. Most of the media is controlled and manipulated.
Right.
So they have to seek the truth, to look to the truth from its origins.
Okay.
It may need a little hard work, but you'll know the truth at last. Don't.
Exactly. So you're saying, like, even if it takes a little more, search out the real truth.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Lena Hanna from Damascus, Syria, I am so glad that you stayed up, my friend.
Yes.
Just thank you so much. And you have really told us things that there was no way we were going to be getting from anywhere else.
And excuse me for my English, my friend.
Well, I really appreciate it.
I try to enhance it just for you.
Mm. Thank you, and we're going to keep in touch.
Thank you.
So for more happenings and things. And please say hello to your husband and your daughter and your son.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Good day in America.
Thank you.